I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last
grand
time,
opening, grand closing, as Jay-Z would say. And today was my last day over at my old job. And I'm very excited. It was the signals were all there for my job, from the one I just currently walked out of, because within an hour of me walking in, my favorite friend there, the person that has an axe to grind with me, went ahead and shut off my badge to have access all around the building. So so all of a sudden, I go in and I get an email, and it's not meant for me. I just get blind copied on it accidentally, and it says, hey, we shut off Anthony's fucking access to the building. And my coworker that's been there for 40 some years, she goes, I've never seen that happen. Somebody that's been there that long acknowledges that the fact that they went ahead and deactivated my account, my badge, an hour into my arrival lets you know all you need to know, right? You know, I have a card somewhere. I was going to show it, and that's just going straight in the trash. As far as a retirement card that I got from the coworkers, I don't hang out with anybody there. I had a few people that shook my hand and wished me well. That was really good. But my exit is not going to be one that is legendary or known. Again, I had a party shot. I was telling that to my boss because on Thursday last week, my director called me in and was just bitching to me about a review. I was telling me, listen, Anthony, you need to, if you're going to be a supervisor, I strongly suggest that you do these things, yada, yada, yada. And I just look at her and say, are you trying to give me a parting shot? Like, you just couldn't let it go, right? And she says, well, Anthony, I have to discuss this because this is something that's been coming down on me. All right, yeah, okay. I mean, you got to state your piece. No problem. If you want to go ahead, no one went ahead today, reached out to my director, never said goodbye, never called me. I didn't have no farewell, goodbye, or anything like that. And usually for any of you folks that work in that rat race, I don't know if you do it out there in Europe, but over here in the United States, when you work for a job that's a large company or a large entity, profit or nonprofit, you usually go into HR, human resources. That's where they're supposed to be the referee of the company. When you're going up against another coworker or somebody above in managerial positions, HR is supposed to be the person that's supposed to help you out, keep things fair. But HR didn't even give me a call for my exit interview. So that lets you know the place I was working for almost 12 years. That's what they, highly they thought of me. And I actually was going to have my review and show it because my last review was a 4.8 out of 5. So did they think of me highly? Did they like me? I think my direct boss did. But I think ultimately what happened is I didn't get into the good graces of other people. And my comings and goings was a problem. And I know that with my new employer, I don't have to worry about any of that. So I'm good. I'm excited. And it's going to be a great one. It's going to be a great legendary run here I'm going to have. I'm back in the private sector, hustling for myself, working. And it's good to put that team on your back. Like my man, like you see those football players, they put the team, the quarterbacks put the team on their backs when they're down 21 points, man. Yeah, they go ahead and take Brady time. So that's exactly where I'm at right now. And I'm excited. I think it's, you know, one of those things that I was being asked. It's like, hey, are you going to miss it? Are you sad? Are you nervous? No, I'm not at all. I'm at peace. And that's just the type of person I am. I'm a person that just deals with reality much quicker. I take a grasp on reality. And I understand that, hey, this is another chapter. Shit happens. They're going to move on. I'm going to move on. We're all going to be good. And that's the way it goes. There's nothing more to it. And people were just in a weird state. But it's interesting because the job that I had, they're going to go ahead and split it in two. So they're going to have two people working what I was working. So that lets you know right there. And you would think, wow, why would they go ahead and hire two people instead of keeping one? Well, again, when people don't like you, when people have an axe to grind for being a dad and for being not there all the time, meaning choosing my family, choosing my child over work, that's just the way it is. It goes like that sometimes, yo. But I know that, because of someone's ire to get at me on via a personal agenda, we all deal with it. And that's the thing that, you know, you talk to people about it. It's that you're never going to please everybody year round. You never are. You're no matter. That's why I don't try to fit the mold of anybody. It's like, I just do me. If you like me, great. If you don't, great. Because I can't worry about anybody liking me or wanting to be in the good graces, I should say. And that's just something we can't do physically. It's not feasible. No matter how good you are, people are still going to not like you. People, for their own reasons, they're not going to like you. They're not going to be a fan of you. And the quicker you can realize that people are not going to be on page with you. They're not going to be team minnow. They're not going to be wanting good things to happen your way or don't care. Hey, it's all good when you realize that. And that's why I've become very authentic and very original with being able to do these things, because I just don't give a flying goddamn fuck. And it's a good thing that, you know, I said it before, but my employer knows and I'm good to go. I think that's kind of one of the things that we live in a society. We're always trying to conform. We're always trying to live up to someone else's expectation or trying to live up to an image. And I try not to. I try to be respectful with that. And I think through that professionalism, what happens is people still don't like you. Because no one can ever say that I was disrespectful. I never touch anybody inappropriately. I never said anything inappropriately to anybody. These are the things that I try to, all the things I talk about as far as respecting women. And it comes down, you know, for me, what it comes down to when I respect women and I respect people's space, it comes from my upbringing. And especially with women, for me, the situation I growing up, seeing my mom struggle, seeing the physical abuse she endured, and that was something that I realized, man, you know, she didn't deserve it. No matter how many buttons you are pressing, and trust me, us guys know, man, women love to press buttons all fucking day. They want to drive you up the wall because they want you to do something. They envision it. They want ahead, and you follow suit. And they're going to go ahead and nag you and bother you and be passive aggressive. You know, all these different mechanisms, mental games that they play on a guy, they'll do that. And some guys just don't react to that very well. And my dad was not one of them at that time. He was a guy that, you know, he put his hands on you, man or woman. You know, I don't think he would want to talk about that. But, you know, me seeing it and remembering it vividly lets me know, you know, I don't ever want to lay a hand on a woman. I don't ever want to do anything like that. I respect someone's space. I respect the way they do. Now, if they want to act crazy, yeah, I tolerate it crazy and I get it. Well, I don't get it because I don't act that way. But I try to be as understanding as I can about someone's plight, but I don't think I ever crossed that line, and especially at work. So I'm looking forward to this new chapter. I know my new employer, he's beyond excited. He called me. He's just ready to go. So I don't know what else to say, man. I mean, that's it. We are closing up on the chapter. But, hopefully I got a date coming up this week. We'll see how it goes. Maybe the first date. But, you know, what happens with me with dating is that if things go well, I don't talk about it. Because I like to let it be known that, hey, if something's going well, I'm good. But if you see me blabbing about it on here, that shit is kaput. That shit is done. That shit is not cooking anymore. It is water over the bridge, and I'm just giving you a history lesson. So, but I have people ask me, hey, what you been doing? I haven't dated. It's April. But I think I'm going on my first date. But that's as far as I get with these, because I don't like jinxing myself. You know, it's not fair to anybody that I don't know, especially if they're on good terms. And I've seen people, and I've talked to people that have never made the podcast because they were straightforward with me, because they were honest, and they kept it real. And I think you, as me as a person, I respect and recognize real. So I try to give people that respect when they we don't end things well, or the journey ends with our connection. Well, you were respectful, cool, no problem. But and that's the way it felt at work. Just some of those connections were, you know, I'll probably stay in touch with my boss, go see spring training with him, but that's about it. I don't see anybody else. Yeah, I may see somebody else from time to time, talk to him, but you know, you've been there that long. I don't know. I just don't take work seriously. I don't, and I've talked about this before. The reason I never really get open at work is because people have ulterior motives at work. It's people being forced to work together from different walks of life, and we all have one incentive: to make money, to make more money, to be in good graces with people, to play the politics game in the office space game. And people just get off on that. People thrive on that. People just, it's better than sex for some of these people. And you have to understand it, that you have all these different personalities going in there that are antisocial. They've probably never been anything in their life. And here we are. They have no type of initiative or desire to do anything else outside of being a parent. And they go ahead and just fester all this frustration and all this shit into the workplace, man. That's American society for you. That's how we get down out here. We just shit on everybody. I was reading this article today about how this girl, a pretty girl, was saying the disadvantages of being pretty. And then she was going off on a tangent about how, well, you know, you don't make any friends. And yeah, you have guys coming at you, but then that all fades away and you get promoted quickly. Yada, yada, yada. You know, all this different shit. And I'm like, all right. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. You'd think that that was such a curse to be attractive. And you get a different hand of cards that you have to play. And I don't understand why people have to mope in whatever it is they have. Look, I know I'm of color. I know I don't have an advantage there. I don't have money that I'm inheriting and I'm living off. I don't have any trust funds. I'm just a regular dude making it, man. I grew up in poverty, right? And here I am just enjoying, basking in the sunshine that's coming through the windows, trying to seep in here and looking at my TV. You have to make sure that you just make the best of your hand. And that's the best scenario you can have in life, is to say, okay, I got my 3-6 suited. That's the best it's going to get. Let me play them and go from there. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you can have a worse hand. And not only, and the people that have great hands, go for it, enjoy it, bask in it. I'm all for it. But I think people get caught up in the fact that they have a shitty hand, or they feel that it's never enough for them. It's not about them being content with what they have. It's like, well, what else can I have? But that's the American way. And I hate to keep going back to that way, but our society and our culture, and I love our country, but the way it's been successful is through greed, is to having that mindset of never having enough. It's never about taking care of other people. It's about just doing what's best for you and your family, whatever that means, whatever it takes. And that greed is what drives this machine over here. So when people like myself that try to be more balanced and try to be more understanding of the bigger picture and stop and smell the roses, people have a problem with that. And the sad thing about it is that many of them, in their deathbed, they're going to realize that, man, a lot of things I did, I shouldn't have done. What the fuck, respect? Yep. Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open ahead with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations of these generations. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Balls. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.